Good morning. Welcome to worship. As always, it is good to be together. So glad you're here and that you have chosen to worship with us here at Belfair Community Church. As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 36. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we are here to declare together with the psalmist that your love reaches to the heavens. Your righteousness is mighty like the mountains, and your faithfulness to us, O God, is as deep as the ocean. You are abundantly good, abundantly powerful, and overflowing with grace and with love. And because of that, God, there is nowhere else that we could be this morning than in your presence, than in this place where we can come and join all of creation in declaring just how great and worthy you are. Worthy of our lives, worthy of our songs, worthy of our praise, worthy of our gifts, worthy of our attention. You are worthy of all that we bring to you, O God. And so as we gather in this place, might your heart be delighted and your children coming to be with you, Lord. And might you fill up our hearts and all the places they need to be filled with your forgiveness, with your peace, with your compassion, and with that unconditional love, sending us from this place just a little while from now to be a people who tell this world of how good and how great you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Tammy's story. My name is Tammy Alicia Hulford. Told us the whole thing. I was born March 11th, 1968, in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. My hobbies are making other people feel good. My mother and real father broke up when I was very little. My mother did her best to raise four kids. Fortunately, she met my daddy, and he adopted us all and gave us a last name. We were very poor growing up, but we made the best of it. Camping meant homeless. I remember when I was little living in a trailer park. I started going to a church across the street. My mama must have been proud because she bought me three of the prettiest little dresses I ever saw, and that was big for me. I just loved it there, even if I was by myself. I never really had a big job career idea. I just wanted to be a wife and a mother and have a home with lots of food. I quit school in the 10th grade, started working full-time at a Waffle House. At 21, I got pregnant with my amazing, adorable daughter, Holly. 3 days after she was born, I went back to work full-time. I was determined to make a life for us. Unfortunately, I started making bad choices. I wanted to feel love, and unfortunately, bad choices left me in a downward spiral. Eventually, I received a 10-year prison sentence. While there, I made a decision to change my life. I received my GED and joined a life-changing group. I could attend every church gathering on a regular basis. Shortly after release, I met my husband, and at 38, I was told I was pregnant with my gift from God, Samantha. We were watching church on TV one morning when she was around 7, and she said, "Mom, let's go to one of those." The following Sunday, we did, and here we still are. I would have never thought that love that I was seeking was right here. Even though I still have struggles that I pray about, I realize I found love and a family through Christ. Thank you, Pastor Jamie and my BCC family. And thank you, Tammy, for sharing your story with us. Yeah. And Tammy's song is Chain Breaker. As we sing it together, would you think about your own life and those times when you thought you were done, too far gone, your own failures, your own struggles, your own setbacks. And think about the different ways that Christ has shown you the gift of freedom. If you will open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, another story of chains breaking. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there were on the hillside a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into that swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and the swine reported it, and then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting in the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Would you pray with me? Now, living God, we turn to your word because we believe that this story is your story, and so this story is our story. We come to your word, O God, because our hearts long to hear from you. We come to your word, O God, because we live in a world of such confusion and chaos, and we need some guidance and some wisdom from the counselor of all, the creator, the sustainer, the only wise one, that is you. We come to your word, O God, because things around us are always changing, but you are not. And we come to your word, O God, because you alone know us. You know our heart of hearts. You know those deepest places within us. You know exactly what we need to hear, exactly what we need to receive. And you're a good father who's eager to pour into us the gift of life. And so we ask that that might happen in these moments. That with your Spirit's help, O God, you might help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. So you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to begin this morning with a little group participation exercise. I know you love these things. So, because it's God's word and we got to encounter it, right? We didn't come to observe, we came to participate. So we're going to participate. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you'll just close your eyes for a moment. This is easy. You don't have to go anywhere, do anything, or say anything. Just close your eyes for a moment. And as your eyes are closed, try to picture yourself fully free in Christ. Whatever that looks like. Picture yourself with nothing holding you back from loving Jesus and serving Jesus with everything you've got. Nothing is in the way. What are you seeing? Stay in this place. A fully free you. Free from anger. What does that look like on you? Free from all anxieties. Free from fear. All of it gone. What are you willing to do with Jesus when there's no fear at all? See it. See yourself free from greed, from stinginess, free to be generous however Jesus might want. What does that look like? See yourself free from caring about what anybody else thinks, free from the rat race that keeps you running on empty. See yourself free from bitterness, free from regret, free from addiction, just free. Free to love Jesus completely, free to follow Jesus totally. What does your life look like when you're just free? Take it in, this picture of a free, fully alive you. And then picture this. What do you see that's keeping you from that freedom? See it. Identify it. What is standing between you and the full life that Jesus is inviting you into? Is it a person that you see? A circumstance? Something inside you, like depression or indifference? See that thing between you and your fully alive, fully free life with Jesus, and see it as a chain. Picture it becoming a chain around your ankle, perhaps. You see Jesus, and you see the life he's got for you. It's right there in view. It's just in the distance, and this chain is the only thing holding you back. What could your life with Jesus be? What's holding you back? You can open your eyes. That was like 99% participation. Good job, you guys. Good job. And most of you are still awake. Good job. Are you ready to meet your chain breaker, Jesus? Because that's who our God is. And that is exactly what he does if we let him. You see, throughout Scripture, people just keep finding themselves in chains, and God just keeps showing up and breaking those chains. It's through the whole entire story. Have you ever noticed that? Way back in Genesis, Joseph, remember him? He's locked up in the king's dungeon. And down in that dungeon, God gives him a gift of interpreting dreams. And at the right time, it turns out that king needs that gift. And he calls this prisoner out of the dungeon. And soon enough, he's second in command of all of Egypt. Chains are broken. Joseph is set free. And in his freedom, he prepares an entire world for an upcoming famine. We can't even count how many lives Joseph saved once God broke those chains and set him free. Daniel. Remember Daniel? Remember when he gets locked up? King Darius makes that decree that no one will pray to anyone but Darius himself. And Daniel just isn't about that. And so he prays to God and doesn't try to hide it. He prays to God right by his window where everyone will pass by. Turns out they see him. They throw him in a den of lions. Daniel is in chains. That night, an angel of the Lord moves in. He closes the mouths of those lions all night long. The next morning, the king comes to check on him. And remember this, he is shocked by what he sees. This alive, free man of God in front of him. And the king, in response, makes a whole new decree. And he says, never mind what I said before. Now I'm saying that all the people in my whole entire area must fear Daniel's God, for he is the living God. Millions set free to worship because one man was spared from the dungeon by a chain breaker God. We just read the story of the Gerasene demoniac. He had lived chained up around those tombs so long that they had forgotten his name. Just called the demoniac. Just the possessed guy down there. Why do you think he made his home in the tombs? We don't know. Perhaps he had buried someone there. That grief chained up his heart. Some of us know what that's like. His chains were so bad that people purposely avoided him. There were paths made around the tombs. People would go the long way to get where they were going, so long as they didn't have to look upon this man's shame. Some of you in chains know how that goes. When your body starts failing you, you realize that some people just stop calling. They don't know how to bear your pain with you. They tiptoe around you. Some of you have lost too much. And with each loss, you find that you're a bit more alone. After a while, it seems people just don't know what to say. And so they just don't say anything. So often our chains isolate us from the very people that we need to help us. Jesus shows up in the Gerasene region. Guess who he meets first? This man in chains. You know, it almost seems like that's the very reason that Jesus went to this region in the first place. He didn't do any other business in the entire area, partly because they made him leave, but he came there with one thing on the very top of his to-do list, and that was to find this man in chains and set him free. Approach this man that everyone else works so hard to avoid and just ask him, what's your name? See the man beyond the shame and stick around long enough to see him whole again. And you notice the chain breaker Jesus, he doesn't waste any time with small talk and niceties. How are you today? How's the weather? None of that. He goes straight for the chains. What are your names? You demons keeping this man from life with me. What are your names? Identify yourselves. Legion, for we are many. And just like that, Jesus says, good to meet you. You're gone. Away from him. He is mine. And into the swine and off the cliff they go. And all that's left in this scene is the chain breaker Jesus and this man set free sitting there right next to him. There they are together, rejoicing, talking, enjoying one another. Passerbys get word and they come and look and they can't believe their eyes. Isn't that the guy who was dragging those chains around and beating himself and living in the tombs? The guy that we avoided? He looks so at peace. He looks so whole. He looks so alive. He's with Jesus. How did he get from there to here? They heard the story of this Jesus who shows up and goes straight for the chains, calls out the forces of death around us and sets us free. They told each other the story. And did you notice what they did when they received the good news, the story? of chain breaker Jesus. Did you notice what they did? They asked Jesus to leave. You see, sometimes we kind of like our chains, don't we? Sometimes we prefer what's familiar, even if it's killing us, to the unknown full life with Jesus. Because you see, our chains, they keep people from expecting too much of us. They give us a pass on dreaming too big with God. Because you see, I've got these chains. I've got these limitations. Just things that I just can't do. Better for me to hang out with my chains and just let life happen all around me. This Gerasene community came face to face with the chain breaker, Jesus, and they didn't want him getting too close to their chains. And so they sent him back to his boat to go and break chains elsewhere. My friends, that same Jesus is in our midst today. And if we leave from this place and just a few moments from now with the exact same chains that we carried in here, we are no different from them. What did you identify as your strongest chain earlier? What did you see, that main thing that was keeping you from full life with Jesus? What was it for you? What is it for you? And can we be a bit honest with ourselves? Do we kind of like that chain? Has it become a bit comfortable even though it digs in? We're used to it. Or are we ready to be done with it once and for all? That new free man, he wants to go with Jesus. And Jesus says to him, no, you go home and tell everyone in your community what I've done for you. Tell them about the chain breaker, Jesus, so their chains might be broken too. Jesus himself knows some chains, doesn't he? Arrested, beaten, crucified, laid in a tomb, that stone rolled into place, locked up, shut up, nailed down, lights out. They thought that was the end of the story. Problem is, they forgot the story. They forgot the story that has told us 1,000 times over that the Spirit of God has never had much of an affinity for chains. And on the third day, as you know, that body that was locked away took a deep breath. And it stood up in that tomb and it walked right out. Alive and free, telling a world of people in chains, Jesus knows the way out. Cling to him, walk with him, and walked up, locked up, shut up, chained down. You will never have to be. Jesus knows the way out. Hang with him. In Acts chapter 5, we just looked at this Thursday night with our Good Shepherd group. The apostles are healing people and they're preaching in Jesus' name. It turns out the religious leaders don't like that. They arrest them. They're chained up in prison. And in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord opens those prison doors and tells the apostles to get up and to walk out and to go right back to the temple to those same people and to preach again about the chain breaker, Jesus. Did you know that these stories aren't just stuck in the pages of Scripture? Have you ever heard of Brother Yun? Brother Yun was a leader in China's house church movement. Thousands came to Christ under his leadership. He was arrested and tortured for it. During his third imprisonment in a maximum security prison in China, the guards were so determined to prevent Yun's escape that they beat his legs until he was absolutely crippled for good. On May 5th, 1997, Brother Yun said in the middle of the morning, he heard the voice of his God telling him to get up and to walk out. He got up. He walked past dozens of prison guards. right out the gate of that prison. He said as he was walking, it was as if everyone was looking at him, but they were looking right through him as if he was a ghost, he said. And he didn't even realize until he was out of prison and free that somehow his legs had been miraculously healed as well. Chain breaker Jesus, still setting people free, in 1997 at least. My best friend in Egypt, I've told you about her before, Hanan. She converted from Islam to Christianity, which is illegal there, could be killed for it. And she was almost killed multiple times, as well as imprisoned. And she tells this story about this time she was in prison with other people who had converted, and they were making them sit for 12 hours a day under this teaching of this imam who was just pounding the Quran into them and berating them. And she said about 6 days into this, she was so worn down, so empty, felt so alone. And she put her head down on the desk and she just started praying and said, "Jesus, if you're real, you've got to get me out of here. I can't stand under this pressure." And she says she looked up from her prayer, and the imam looked right at her and said, "You get out of here right now." Said, "I don't know what's going on with you or what's happening in your eyes, but you get out of here right now." She got up and walked out of that room. She was free. Chain breaker Jesus at it again. Here's what we know, my friends. Without a doubt, here's what we know. Our God breaks chains. And our God wants his children to be free. Free to live in his love. And free to be and do all that he dreams for us to be and do. God wants us to be free. That's why he just keeps going to all the places where his people are in chains. He cannot stay away. Because he wants us to be free. Those chains in your life, whatever image came to your mind when you pictured them, whatever you identified as the things, the people, the circumstances, the internal stuff that's keeping you from full life in Christ, God comes right up to those things. He doesn't tiptoe around them. He's right there. Right where those chains are. Because God wants nothing more than for his people to be free. Here's what else we know. When God comes near our chains, he's ready to break them. He doesn't want to just sit around and moan about them with us. He's not like when Harry met Sally. Remember when they are on the phone all night just moaning? That's not our God. No, our God is a living, breathing, moving, saving, healing, overcoming God. He's got no interest in sitting around all night and moaning with us about a whole bunch of chains. That's where we get in the way of letting God be God sometimes. You see, we want him to come close so we can tell him just how bad it is. But once he lifts a finger to free us, we say, "Oh, stop that, God, stop that. I don't actually want you to help me. I just want you to sit here and moan with me. If you go and set me free, God, they might ask me to do something around here. Just come and moan with me so I can vent and you can nod your head and nothing can change at all." That's not our God. He's got no interest in that. When he comes near to our chains, he comes with one agenda, and that is to shatter them completely. He is ready to tell us to get up and to walk into life and to do it now. What are we waiting for? There's no time to stop and to moan when there is a good life to live, when there's real hope to walk into, and when there's real joy for the taking. God shows up to all of our chained places to take our hand and to say, "We're busting out of this place." Less moaning in the presence of God and more walking into life with God. That's what he's about. That's our invitation today. What are we going to do with it? then get this. Every time God frees someone from their chains, have you noticed what he does with them? Every time. Do you notice? There's a theme. He sends them off to tell the world of the chain breaker God. Joseph tells his brothers, what you meant to hurt me, to chain me up, God meant it for good. Brothers, let me tell you about my chain breaker God. Daniel, he tells Darius, you chained me up and threw me to these lions. My God sent me an angel to save me. Oh, king, you got a minute? Because I need to tell you about this chain breaker God. The demoniac, please, Jesus, let me go with you. No, no, no. You go home and you tell all those people who have seen your suffering, all those people who have tiptoed around your pain. You go knock on their doors and you tell them about your Jesus. They need to know the chain breaker Jesus too. Those apostles in prison, the angel said, get up, walk out. Don't you go home and hide. Get back to the temple and tell everyone there about the chain breaker Jesus. They have got to know. My friends, God has broken some chains in this place too. Way more than we have time to tell. My friends, Tina, Terry, and James, those chains of addiction, God shattered them. And now they get to tell some folks who are still stuck about the chain breaker Jesus. They get to testify. My friend Jimmy, he knows the chains of grief, burying a child. One day Jimmy said, yeah, I've just been waiting to die and be with him. But God has changed my heart, showing me that I still have reason to live. To the grieving, my friend Jimmy has something to say about the chain breaker Jesus. He can testify. My friend Pat, she tells about years of living in those chains that tell us we're unworthy. Unworthy of being loved by God and by others. And now she says, I'm finally actually believing that Jesus really does love me. He just loves me, not for what I do, just for who I am. And so many people who are stuck in those chains of unworthiness, Ms. Pat has something to tell you about the chain breaker, Jesus, who shatters those lies and wraps his arms around us. She can testify. My friend Carrie, she's been mistreated by the people who should have loved her the most. She's known heartache and resentment and betrayal and pettiness. But today she chooses forgiveness and compassion and patience and resilience. And she prays for those who have brought her so many tears. Those who are stuck in the throes of resentment, hang out with Carrie. She can tell you about the chain breaker Jesus. She can testify. My love guy. He's watched his kids struggle. And their choices in life have about ripped his own heart out. When we talked about our life together and having kids one day, his initial response for good reason was, I'm scared. I don't want to open up my heart to that kind of hurt again and again. And you know, a few weeks later, he came back and he said, you know, Jesus is showing me that the way of love is to always open our hearts up again. It may hurt, but how can we not take the risk of sharing our love? Chains play it safe. Chains hold your heart close. Chainbreaker Jesus says, I know it hurts, and I dare you to love again. Be not afraid. I can testify to that. Our friend Tammy mustered up the courage to testify this morning. Years of pain and shame and regret. Lies believed of not being worthy, of not being seen. Fear of making it on her own. And she came this morning with a slew of friends ready to say, Jesus just keeps walking into all of my pain and all of my shame and all of my fear. And he just keeps setting me free. free to love my family and this church and my colleagues and this quirky little town, and free to live in joy knowing that I am a beloved child of God. She's testifying to all of us about the chain breaker, Jesus. What chains has he broken in you? Identify them. Were you once so angry? And now you find you move with grace. Testify. That's the chain breaker, Jesus, doing his best work in you. Were you once always looking for the next high? And now you're seeing clearly the people God's given you to love and the path of life he's called you to walk. That's the chain breaker, Jesus. Testify. Were you once so insecure, hated who you were, and now you know you're a beloved child of God in this place at this time to partner with God in changing the world for good? Chainbreaker Jesus brought your heart to that place. Testify. Had you once given up on relationships, sure, you would never be loved. Now you wake up each day to the one who has chosen to love you, and the ups and the downs come what may. That's the chain breaker, Jesus, in your life. Testify. Has he moved in your life to set you free, to make you more alive in him in any way? Testify. What chains is Jesus standing by in your life today? Are you going to let him break them? He's ready. He'll do it right now. Are you ready? Maybe that's the question. And being set free, will you testify? Will you tell someone about the chain breaker, Jesus? How can we pass them in chains when we know the way to freedom? It's just cruel. Will we testify? Imagine the chains that would break all around us if all of us free people got busy telling the whole of Belfaire about the reality of the chain breaker, Jesus. Imagine what would happen if a bunch of set free people absolutely refused to keep the good news to themselves, and one by one they started to testify. Imagine. Testify. Testify. Would you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, thank you that in all of our lives you have come near, and you come near, and you have broken chains, and you've got more chains to break. Thank you that those pictures that we see of full life with you are not just imaginary, far-fetched hopes, but they can be realities because you are a Savior who has come to set us free. Here, now, not someday in heaven, starting today. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't just moan with us, but that you release us to be healed and to live fully alive in you. And thank you, Jesus, that you give us a word of life to give to our family and our friends and our neighbors and our colleagues, that there is a real Jesus and he really breaks chains and he really can move for them too. And so, Jesus, would you keep doing your work in us? And as you do, oh God, help us not keep it to ourselves, but send us out to testify so you might do your freeing work in them too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.